Take me back to the wide open places. Let me bask neath the bright neon light. Let me see those sunray faces in the wide open places that are open, open all night. Yes, yes. You can have your boots and saddles. You can take your rolling plane.
New game.
Okay, we need to record.
Okay, we are recording.
Okay, good.
We need to, like,
okay, interrupt. Do something. Come on.
Don't tell me what to do. You can't rush greatness.
Seriously,
I'm driving the ship.
You can't.
Tell me what to do.
You cannot rush these things. My creative juices need to come out naturally.
Oh my god. You and your creative juices.
Yes.
Definitely. Getting everywhere.
They are wonderful.
Wonderful?
It's like Jackson Pollock up in here.
Jesus.
Hello, and we are the Brothers Geek. Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. I am Patrick Schmaltz. Woo! Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome to 2016.
I am Patrick Schmaltz.
Happy New Year.
And I record a podcast with my two brothers. We record a podcast together. Wow. I'm all over the place. This is what happens when you don't record for a month.
Yeah, we forget how to do it.
I wasn't good at it before. So my two brothers, Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hi. What up, brothers?
And Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Greetings, boys. Greetings.
We're geeks and we're brothers, and we talk about geeky things, and this is our podcast. We kind of had some scheduling problems for a month.
Yeah, things have gone on. Yes.
The things have definitely gone on.
I was abducted by aliens.
Yes, and yep. Then and Mulder and Scully came in to rescue you. Got it.
Only really recently returned. There was much probing.
Lots of lost time.
Wow.
I mean, are you sure that was the aliens? The probing was from the aliens?
There was much probing.
Okay.
But I've returned. So
I think
I'm
you just had a proctologist appointment rather than...
Whoa.
There was no proctology involved.
Well, he is getting old, so... No, you're getting old. You got to get that stuff checked, man. Jesus. Come on. Come on. Yes. Every 5 years or something like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
So we are back. We have a lot to talk about. So
it's been a while, boys. I've missed you. I've missed you. I've missed being on.
I've missed my brothers.
We have definitely missed each other for sure.
Yeah, man. I've missed recording my brothers. We've had some stuff go on, all three of us, over the past 30 days, and now we're back together and
back again.
I mean, we're deep into 2016. I wanted to pose a topic to you guys. I mean, we're looking forward to the year.
Uh-huh.
I'll put you guys on the spot. What are you guys looking forward to in 2016 in the geek world? What's coming up that you're really pumped for?
You know, the past couple of weeks, we've had some really good and bad trailers for superhero movies. I am really excited for Suicide Squad. I think that looks great. I'm not very excited.
I'm disagreeing with you on Suicide Squad.
Dude, I think Suicide Squad.
I'm also disagreeing with
really?
You.
Really? Suicide Squad looks great. Margot Robbie looks
hot. It looks like a train wreck that is just going to be.
Oh, dude. See, I feel like that. I feel that way about Batman Superman. I feel like Batman Superman is going to be a train wreck, dude.
I'm totally disagreeing with you. The TV spots and the trailers that I've seen for Batman Superman in the past month have increased my excitement for Batman Superman.
No, something's going on with Ben Affleck's voice in that one TV spot, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
the human race.
You will bleed. Like, what? Seriously?
Batman always has an affectation.
Yeah, what is up
there?
It's not even, like, natural, though. It sounds like they dubbed him over. Like, it looks bad, dude. It's not going to be good. I'm not excited about that.
You know what I think we all can agree on looks good and just looks so ridiculous that it's going to be awesome is Deadpool.
Yes.
Deadpool is going to be great.
I was going to bring that up. That movie, the trailers have me – that's what the movie I'm most looking forward to for the next, like,
for sure. For sure, for sure.
That movie looks awesome and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I am very psyched.
I'm excited about that one. I'm definitely excited about Suicide Squad. I did screw with you guys.
The two comic things that I'm most looking forward to are
Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I saw that on comic book. That comes out in February. I'm pumped for that too. I will definitely pick up number one.
We should probably decide to just make that our like show book.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. No. We're definitely gonna
like everybody reads that's the show.
That's a candidate or Black Panther. Black Panther.
Oh yeah, the Black Panther book is going to be coming out. That's going to be good because that's going to lead into Captain America, right? Like they're talking about bringing back that character a little bit, and they're doing a standalone movie of Black Panther, but they're trying to get some.
Year,
yeah. They're trying to get some.
2017.
Those things. Stuff going. I'm for 2016. In the comic book world, I'm very psyched about both of those things.
Is Captain America Civil War, that's going to be this summer, right?
May 6th.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. That looks great.
I am extremely excited about that.
That's great.
For sure.
That's kind of the movie that I'm jonesing for this year.
It's a really good, and like the directors are really good on that.
I mean, we've had arguments about this before, but the Russo brothers, I will continue to argue that The Winter Soldier is the best Marvel movie that's been made.
I would even take it a step further, and I know you're going to disagree with me, that it's the best comic book movie.
No, there's an argument to be made that it could be up there with The Dark Knight in terms of
the
best
Dark
comic book.
Best.
Because Dark Knight is a great movie, but it's not a superhero movie. It's like
we've had this discussion.
I know.
Well, you
but
just
like,
changed the terms of the analysis, though, dude.
I know.
Yeah,
but
consistent.
Totally,
is it a comic book movie or a superhero movie?
It's I don't know. Like Captain America Winter Soldier makes me feel good, and like I want to watch it. And then The Dark Knight is just
Batman's not a superhero?
No, I'm saying Batman is a superhero, but that is not a superhero movie. I think it's a crime drama, like thriller movie.
I mean, I can see that analysis for sure.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you.
I don't agree, though.
Yeah,
I think Dark Knight.
Dark Knight is so good. Don't get me wrong.
Civil War coming out in May.
Yeah.
So pumped.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about what's coming out later in the year. I mean, we're talking most of the stuff's in the first 6 months that we're talking about.
Right. Totally.
In gaming, I mean, Destiny 2 is going to be out the September October area. I'm excited to see where that'll be.
I thought I read somewhere that that's getting pushed back.
Is it? Oh no. Well, if it gets pushed, it gets pushed.
For gaming, I'm excited about it. The Division. Have you guys looked up anything about it?
A lot of streamers that I follow are going to be streaming the beta all this weekend.
Well, I signed up for the waitlist for the beta, but I haven't gotten the confirmation because there are a limited amount. If you buy the game ahead of time, you get into the beta automatically, but I'm on the waitlist because I haven't purchased the game yet.
Is it going to be on console too, or is it going to be a console and PC?
Console and PC. Yeah.
So you were on the waitlist for the.
I'm on the waitlist for my PC beta. Yeah.
Okay.
So that might be a more of a limited selection. I mean, there's probably a lot of people who are pre-ordering it for console.
Sure.
And so maybe I'll have a better chance of getting in. I'm fingers crossed. But if I get it, I'm going to be streaming that this weekend for sure. I will be. Showing off the game and playing it because I'm really when they first showed footage of that last E3.
It's been delayed like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I was super pumped about it. Super open world, like third person shooter has like leveling up elements and post apocalyptic. It's like everything I love. So
and like set in Manhattan and stuff like
Manhattan
that.
And it's perfect to scale like.
Yeah,
you walk around and it's like it's Manhattan to scale, so it's huge, and so I'm really excited about that game. What else? What else comes out?
You know what other movie that? Oh, X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse.
That
looks great.
I hope they can
looks really
that
good.
Off.
I hope they pull that off well. The other movie that really bums me out. That I wish I was more excited about, but I can't be because it's just missed its window, is Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that movie is two years late.
I think it's 5 years too late. Like, wow. it needed to be coming out a lot sooner.
I think it peaked. World of Warcraft had 12 million maybe 3 years ago. I think they peaked at 12 million 3 years ago.
What expansion were they in the middle of? Because I feel like it started to die around Cataclysm time, and that was like 5 years ago.
It peaked in Mists of Pandaria.
Really?
12 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it was Mists of Pandaria.
That's when I stopped playing. Right at the tail end of Cataclysm. So
I think that's 2.5, 3 years ago, if I'm right.
You're probably right about that. I think that timeline's accurate.
That Warcraft movie, I think, honestly, it's 2 to 3 years late. It's really a bummer.
What I'm disappointed with is the subject matter that they chose, because there's so much lore in the Warcraft universe. I wanted them to do an Arthas movie. That is such a better story than the origins of the orcs and like the Horde. Like,
yeah,
I feel like the Arthas story is so much more compelling.
There's a world building argument though that is you got to set all this up.
It took them 10 years to make one. Okay.
Well, I know, I don't know anything about the lore, but the Lich King story is by far the best.
Right. The Lich King story is the best. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Andrew. What?
No, I was just going to say, for someone who doesn't know anything about the lore, they obviously felt the need to put the kind of the dual protagonist role of the orc and the human, so they would need to have like a third adversary. I mean, that's what the Arthas story is. Yeah, okay, so the Iron Horde obviously is I guess what they're trying to base this off of. Is that what we think, that there's a group of orcs or an army of orcs that threatens all of the world and not, you know, humans and, you know, other orcs?
This is
complicated, dude.
It's a very complicated story.
Okay.
It's demon touched, essentially it boils down to three factions: demon touched orcs, regular orcs, and humans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's the conflict between the warlike, demon-touched orcs and the orcs who just want to get along and find a new home, and the humans that are – their world is now threatened by these orcs from another world.
And there's sort of like racism going on of
– A lot of
all,
racism.
All the orcs are bad.
A lot
bad,
of xenophobia.
You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's at the heart of it all. And honestly, it tees up the entire world conflict as this basic story about the beginning of when the orcs arrive on Azeroth. So on one hand, they got to tell that story. They got to set it up. They got to do all of that with the idea that there's going to be movie number two. But I don't think there's going to be a movie number two, because I think there's going to be no audience for it.
Right. That's why they need to come out of the gate with.
But that ship was sailed. They were working on this movie.
You don't think there's you know, 5 or 10 million hardcore fans that will go see it and pay the 10 or 15 bucks and push it over the 100 million to kind of make it
at least 100 million. But I don't think that's enough.
It's definitely cost more than 100 million, Andrew. It'll make 100 million.
It's got to make 250.
Yeah, it's got to make 250.
It's never going to make 250.
Maybe it could just blow us away. It could end up being like, you know,
let's hope.
It could be like, I don't think it's gonna be like Lord of the Rings good, but it could be like Chronicles of Narnia good. The first Chronicles of Narnia movie was pretty good.
The trick though is are non-movie, non-gaming people gonna go see it? That's the question.
I'm a movie person.
Yeah,
so
but you're a movie person, exactly. So you'll go see it because you're compelled by the pop culture of it.
There will be a Lord of the Rings contingent of people who are into that stuff. Who
fantasy,
will see.
But I don't know if that group is big enough. I don't know if they're enough to make this they'll go see the first weekend and it'll make 50 million, but is it good enough that they'll come back the next weekend and it'll keep making money? I think it's gonna die. I think it's gonna crash and burn.
Do we even know when is it getting released? Is it the summer?
It's the summer. Yes. Yeah. I don't have an exact date. Think about how quickly some of these movies are coming up.
Deadpool comes out in 2 weeks.
What is it?
Deadpool comes out February 12th.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then Batman Superman is a month and a half after that, and then
Batman,
6 weeks after
March.
That is Winter Soldier.
I love not, Ben. I love
about another movie. I'm looking at movies that are coming out this year. Talk about another movie that missed its window is the Angry Birds movie, dude.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Right?
Seriously.
They're about four years too late.
That's coming out in May. And talk about a Angry Birds was everywhere and now it's nowhere. Right?
Seriously. I mean, every single person who had a smartphone played Angry Birds like 4 years
ago.
Had
it on their phone. Every person in the world.
Yeah.
And now it's nowhere.
The Warcraft
the
movie
comedy
is
just
June 10th,
really,
by the way.
Really good.
June 10th.
Unless the comedy is really, really good, it's going to crash and burn.
Isn't it Bill Hader does the voice of one of the birds? He's great. I think so.
I haven't seen.
I'm going to look it up right now. Angry.
Yeah, I haven't investigated that movie at all, but I think you're exactly right, Christopher. There's so many movies where they need to strike while the iron was hot, when that quote-unquote brand was, you know, a big part of the zeitgeist, and they just missed it. That was the – I mean, this is totally out of left field, but that was part of the critique with the 50 Shades of Grey movie.
Mm.
It's like that movie came out 8 months after – you know, the book trilogy ended, when all the fervor over how kind of, you know, the naughtiness of it was had died down, and the casting.
Are they even going to make like another one?
I don't think so.
I mean, it made millions of dollars,
Andrew. A ton of money.
It made like $400 million for that
it made
bullshit.
A ton of money. You know, all the bored housewives went to go see it. All the women of America who. Secretly,
I saw
maybe,
it.
And hey, maybe some men went to it too, dude.
I went.
I got dragged by their girlfriends.
I saw it. I had no girlfriend at the time. I am a movie person, and movie people have to see the terrible movies too, so they know the difference. Okay.
Did you go by yourself?
Nice rationale.
I went by myself.
Oh my god.
That's even worse.
Yep. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard. That's worse than like going to like an animated movie by yourself.
No, it's not. Animated movies are good.
Oh no, I go see animated movies by myself.
I've seen all of it.
Sideways at you for a 30-year-old man walking
it's
into
fine.
How to
yeah,
Train
fine.
Your Dragon 2 by yourself.
No, that's a good movie.
Yeah. Somebody will look sideways at you.
I don't care if they're looking at me. That's the difference between you and me, Andrew. I don't care.
He's there for the art.
I've also seen all the Twilight movies. Yep, all of them. They're terrible.
I've seen those.
Ugh, awful.
That's not that big a deal.
You have teenage girls, so...
Right. What movies did you see?
The Twilight movies.
Okay, I saw all those.
Oh, God.
So bad.
So bad.
So
anything else for 2016 we're excited about? Lots of things. There's a lot.
Daredevil's coming
Star
out.
Trek, Star I'm Trek part... Beyond is. Is
oh
the
yeah,
summer.
That looks good. I don't know. I need to see another trailer for that one because
I hope it's not Fast and Furious, dude, in space.
That is the best Fast and the Furious movie, that the one that he directed.
The one that was in space?
No. Yep.
Yeah, the one they go into, you know, they have to fly spaceships.
That director directed Tokyo Drift, among others. But
that was a good movie.
Tokyo Drift is my favorite of the
Fast and Furious movie.
But is he good enough for a Star Trek movie? That's a great question. So we'll find out.
No, we'll have to see. I mean, there's definite questions in terms of whether or not he'll get it right.
Here's the saving grace that Simon Pegg wrote the script, and I trust Simon Pegg because he wrote, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and things like that, and I love those movies.
Hot Fuzz, still.
That is the best.
One of the most rewatchable movies ever.
Absolutely. Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, God.
The rewatchability on Hot Fuzz is, I mean, top tier.
Next it's level. Next
hilarious.
Level.
Hilarious. So good. So good.
So now in 2016, we have a lot of shows that are starting up that are very geek-related.
Yeah, we are. The TV series are back.
Yep. All of our shows.
Most of them are, anyway.
We all watch Flash and Arrow. Christopher's watching Supernatural. Supernatural's back. It's from their little break. But there's like new shows like The Expanse and
we talked a little bit about
Shannara
The Expanse in our previous episodes, just because it started in the middle of December, so we touched on it.
Right.
But I mean, they're well into their first season.
How many episodes are they going to do?
I think they're doing 10. So there's three
episodes
left.
They need to move
left.
It along because
I know.
I'm thinking about where the book is and like he's. he leaves the station pretty early on in the book. And they're just now getting to him. Spoiler alert. Like, he leaves the station. But, it's kind of a... kind of a weird... If they're going to do 12, I feel like they need to... Because the end of the book is where shit starts to get really crazy. And you need a lot of episodes to fill that in. They need to do more than 10.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to spend an entire episode just on Eros with whatever, with everything that happens on Eros. They could spend an entire episode
They're going to do two seasons for the first book, dude.
Oh, they are?
Oh, I don't think they're going to do that.
They got to. At this point, Andrew, they have to.
Oh, that'll disappoint me.
What are they going to end? What are they going to end this season then on? If it's episode 10, like, what's the moment in the middle of the book?
What episode are we on? 5, 6?
They're on 6.
They're through seven.
They're through 7.
And they only do 10.
They're doing 10 or 11 episodes. I feel like on IMDb, it looks like there's 11 episodes.
The cliffhanger will be when they find her.
Oh, like that when when Miller and yes, okay. And then the latter half will be all the stuff that happens on the other station.
Yep.
Spoiler free. We'll try to be very spoiler free. And all the stuff that happens with Earth and Mars because of that.
Yep.
That'll be season 2.
Well, you know, the climax of book one is some of the craziest shit, right?
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
That will be, I mean, how can that not be the end of season 2?
That has to be the end of season. You're right.
Sci-fi has a track record of doing, they'll do 10 episodes, they'll take a 3-month break, and then do 10 more and still consider it one season.
That's what they did for Battlestar.
Stargate Universe, they did the same thing.
Totally. They'll do that again.
And they renewed it for season 2, so...
Oh, yeah. It's freaking great. If you're not watching The Expanse, you need to go watch it right now.
Yeah, no, I had my qualms in the first few episodes just because I was having trouble getting a grip on the characters, but I have... That's all resolved for me at this point.
I still have some qualms. You know what I like about the book that I don't like that they changed for the show is... The crew of the Rocinante, like, trust each other, and they like each other. This, they're, like, at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah, no, I want them to get past this I don't trust you thing.
And yeah,
I,
no.
Because we've gone through all the books, and we know that they're so tight now.
Exactly.
I want them to be tight, and...
They're not.
The beginning part of the book, they weren't tight.
No.
At all.
Suspicion.
Completely.
And so they're there, but I want them to get past all of that and be like, we're the crew of the Rocinante.
Maybe that's the problem. The
reason they're so tight is because they've survived so much shit together.
A couple of things. Right.
Yeah, so they need to get there to become a family, and they haven't gone through the shit to, you know, test each other and learn to trust each other yet. There's too much suspicion still. Once they realize how big everything is and that the only people they can rely on are each other,
that's right.
Then we'll understand. Then they'll understand.
And I think they're building to that. So it's
no, yeah. I think they are too.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I actually like. I mean, the most recent. Is everybody caught up?
Yes. The end of the last episode. Somebody who remained nameless
Miller
is
left.
On. Right. Miller left the station.
Miller is on a ship going to...
That's the last episode. Okay.
I love that they added the bits with Avara Sala and James Holden's mother, because that's not anywhere
in
the book.
That's a change in the story, yeah.
Well, I loved it.
I don't think it's a change in the story.
So, you know what they're doing? Because Avara Sala is not in the first book at all. She is giving, like, the backstory and the background the character, like, having to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so much internal monologue that happens in the books.
Yeah.
They are establishing so much through her
in
terms of the greater world and politics that interact. But I mean, specifically her going to the farming collective in Montana and talking to Holden's mother to better understand Holden, I think it's – and nowhere in the book, but totally great. The actress who played Holden's mother, she's been in a ton of stuff before, and I've never really – I don't know her name, but she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
I love that. I love that change they made from the book, and it added a lot to the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
It just – it illuminates perfectly how different the storytelling, you know, how different storytelling exists in a novel and different in a show, and how you can differentiate, but they can complement each other in a lot of ways.
For sure.
So I was good. I like that a lot.
All right. Yeah. Go watch it if you haven't. What do we think of the Shannara Chronicles?
I've barely watched any of it. Honestly,
really?
I watched the first half hour of it and it couldn't hold my interest.
Really? Okay.
I just wasn't that into it.
Christopher, what do you think? Being a fan of the series, the book series.
Oh yeah. No, I
isn't it very it's very YA now for MTV, isn't it?
It is a product of being on MTV. I'll say that. A lot of pretty people doing pretty things.
Well, Christopher, I think we have to give the not ugly female award to the actress who plays the elf princess.
Yeah.
Her name is Poppy something. She was at – I was telling the story to someone. That actress at Comic-Con, like you meet – we see actresses on TV. We see actors and actresses on TV, and they're always very attractive people. They're the most attractive people kind of in the world, and that's why they're on TV.
Yep.
She is stunning in person.
Yeah.
Stunning. In person. And, I mean, obviously she's a princess and royalty on the show, and she seems to pull that off pretty well. But that's my two cents is that actress is – she gets the Not Ugly Award in my opinion. For this
I would support that for this episode. Well, I would make the argument. Usually, we don't have to argue about this, but
we don't.
The other character, Atreya, I think is cuter.
She's more your style.
She's more my style. I like her. They're both very, very not ugly, but
yeah.
Atreya is
Poppy Drayton.
Poppy Drayton.
Yes.
What a weird name. Okay,
I will say, go ahead.
It is very YA. It is very young, pretty people. But I'll give it this. The sets look great. The costumes are fun. They're shooting not in sets all the time. They're out in the woods, which is good. And like it looks, it has like good
value
for that.
They spent money on it. The effects of the demons are great.
Yeah, it looks.
Well, the
demons
really.
Look,
really right. Shooting the moon on a prestige series, right?
Right.
That's what they're shooting for.
Yep.
The demons look fantastic. The special effects, the costuming, the makeup. There's some moments of really badass stuff where, like, you know, what's the guy's name? Al-Anon like smokes a demon, and that is the coolest moment. Like you're just like yes, but it's
and
like
the effects of the elf stones.
Yes,
will
looks
sort of
really cool
to the fight. Are
so,
good.
So yeah, it's like
the landscapes are good. They've done a good job with set design and
right,
all that.
Right,
it really
right.
captures the look
so
of
it's high quality.
High quality, but yes,
book. It does
but,
a good job for the with the book.
Is it close to the book? Because I know how
this book ends.
Yeah,
they are doing a great job of teeing up.
Oh, really?
Of the how it all resolves. It's because unless they change the ending, they are doing a really nice job of offering subtle things.
Wow.
And there's the storytelling is good. They've changed some stuff. They've added some characters that aren't in the book. But I am enjoying it in spite of my troubling. I was troubled by the premiere because it was so CW that I was like, oh God, really? It was annoying. You know, young, pretty people. But they've done a good job of injecting real threat in the world, and real the effects are good, and the acting is reasonable, and I want to see it pay off. I want to see how well they continue it.
It's just I love like fantasy, good fantasy, and I mean we only get Game of Thrones like once a summer. So this is like,
oh yeah,
I
that's
feel like
another
this,
thing. That we didn't. That, I mean, we didn't touch on that being anticipated at all. Season 6 of Game of Thrones
oh
coming in April. we don't know what's happening because the show is caught up with the damn books.
Well, yeah, and
we're not going to get a book before the series drops.
No, they said that, but it's also like they've also said that George R. R. Martin's talked to the showrunners, so they are the only humans that know how the book goes. And yeah. how the show ends, like how
they must be shooting the season right now,
right? Oh, yeah, it's definitely being shot,
yeah,
or edited.
They finished photography before any of the shows air. Mm. Everything's done by right. the time.
Oh yeah,
totally. That's why they're shooting now.
They're probably
exactly.
yeah.
So the show is still 3 months from premiere.
So they're not making it up. Like they're not going without.
Oh no.
You know
he's involved in
Martin's
breast
blessing, right? He's involved very much. So that it yes. kind of sucks that we don't have a book to read before.
But that tells you a lot. The fact that we didn't mention that as anticipated means that they are really screwing it up.
Yeah.
Seriously, that should be, I mean, it's so good. And maybe they think, okay, everyone's going to come back. So, yeah. And we all are going to come back. We're all going to watch.
Is Jon Snow going to be a walker? Spoiler alert.
I don't know what they're going to do with
because
him.
there's a picture online with him with blue eyes.
He will be resurrected, but not a walker.
I think he's gonna be. I think he's gonna be like the white. Where
he's gonna be? No, he's gonna be, like a hybrid.
Well, guys,
infused
who,
with the
who remembers? There is a character in the books that does not exist in the TV
which
show.
I hear that she's gonna be in this episode in this season.
Listen to me, I'm talking about somebody else.
Okay,
the character of Cold Hands.
Oh yeah.
Other creature, but still remains
yep.
sentient.
Yep.
He's Bran's guide in the books.
Totally.
Yes.
Cold
yes.
Hands.
What if Jon Snow exists like some kind of creature like Cold Hands is?
Is Cold Hands, what's his name? Is he Benjen Stark?
That was always the theory.
Yeah, I think Cold Hands is Benjen. Because like you never hear about what happened to Benjen. And the Starks, that would make sense because the Starks have like...
Yeah.
Special connection to
yeah, it's
coming
not like
back to
gonna
life.
Find him dead under a tree.
No,
of course
something,
not.
Something has to happen with.
He's going to play a key role,
right?
They've teed that up enough that okay, yeah, he's going to play a key role,
right? And so in the books too, there's Lady Stoneheart, right? Is that her name? Stoneheart.
Yes.
Right. Yep. Which is spoiler alert, Catelyn Stark. Who's been resurrected by the red priest?
The red priest, yeah.
And so there's definitely people who
she's
can
all
come
jacked
back to,
up though.
She's
so
all
oh yeah.
Well,
that's,
here's
that will be interesting. That's why I think because he's in the north and he's of the north and he's
yeah.
got that Stark heritage
mm-hmm,
and they
mm-hmm.
have the special connection to the north that he's going to be. Even if they show him with blue eyes, I think they resurrect him and he's this weird like walker human.
Yep. Sentient undead man.
Yes.
Something.
That is a complete badass. That's
right.
What I'm hoping for.
Right.
He's this complete badass.
Right. The Starks are all very powerful in different ways. Bran
yep.
is like going to
yep.
be a wizard and you know, Arya.
Was that
is
an
gonna...
official? I haven't seen this photo of him with blue eyes.
I've definitely seen a photo. I don't know. I saw a photo. It looked
like a legit photo.
Like
they would never do something so obvious as to release a photo
Seriously.
Of him with blue eyes.
It can't be official.
I feel like that's a theory.
Maybe it
it's a theory
it can't,
photo.
It can't be an official
I'm
going
to try to find something right now to show you guys, okay? Game of Thrones.
Anyway, yeah, no. So we're anticipating that. So, but...
Yeah,
so Chris, you had a particular topic you wanted to dive into very deeply because
yes.
you were enamored and you binged on the Amazon series The Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
Which is based on a Philip K. Dick story, right?
Correct.
Okay. And how many episodes was season – neither Patrick or I have watched this, so you're going to be our source. How many episodes were
right
in the
now.
First
season? I watched the first episode, Andrew.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of just the first episode, Patrick?
I thought it was really good, but the last 2 minutes of the first episode had a ba 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 da ba moment, and it kind of
okay.
didn't didn't bring me back because of that.
Really?
Do you know what moment I'm talking about, Christopher?
No.
He's,
What moment is that?
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but one of the main characters is not who they say they are.
There's 10 episodes. Okay. One of the main characters
is not who they say they are. That doesn't really help.
It doesn't. No.
Check that photo that I just posted. I've definitely seen this, but I don't know if this is legit.
Can't be legit. Too obvious.
Too obvious.
No way. That's Photoshop, dude.
That's
totally Photoshop. Yeah, okay. There's no way they released that. That would have set the internet on fire.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That would have been the headline
in every website everywhere.
Seriously, there would have been 10 million tweets. It would have been trending on Twitter for days.
All right. Maybe I was misled by the internet, not the first time.
I know, not the first, not the last.
Exactly. All right, anyways. Man in the High Castle, Christopher.
Yeah, this would be this. I guess this can lead us into scene. Man in the High Castle is on Amazon, Amazon Prime. I'm telling you right now, if you use Amazon at all, get Prime and watch this freaking show.
Ringing endorsement.
The concept is awesome, and the show does a great job of really doing it justice.
Well, it postulates the idea that the Nazis and the Japanese won World War II, right?
Alternative history.
Yeah.
A tale of alternative history in which the Nazis defeat America and take over all of the United States to essentially the Rocky Mountains. And Japan defeats America and essentially takes over everything west of the Rocky Mountains. And the Rocky Mountains are basically the neutral zone between the rivals now for power.
They're no longer allies.
Correct. Basically, it is a Cold War. Between the Nazis and the Japanese Empire. Hitler is still alive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, yes, but he's an old man.
Well, and, yeah, you have to be. When is the show set? Like, we're in the 20th century.
It's like the 60s, right? It's like
50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Era. Okay.
And it tells the tale, without giving any spoilers, it tells the tale of naturally what would happen when you have a resistance, right? You have a group of people who are Americans and they cling to the American ideal and they want to fight against the Nazi occupation. And the focus is on these films that surface. This is in the show. These films that surface that the resistance needs to get to, quote unquote, the man in the high castle, who it is suspected lives somewhere in the neutral zone.
Okay.
And on these films, this is the sci-fi piece of this. These films they show the actual history.
Oh.
Our history.
Okay.
In which the Nazis are, it's like the newsreels,
yeah,
of World War II, where the blowing up of all of the iconic images of Nazi Germany and things like that. These films are the newsreels from our history.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm intrigued.
So there is, and the way that the show depicts the brutality of the Nazi regime as it would be imposed upon, it's so jarring to see an American flag except the stars replaced with the swastika.
Oh, God.
And all of the depictions of Nazis in America, New York, is where it's primarily set is in New York City and then suburbs of New York. That it tells one tale of New York and the Obergruppenführer, the main guy who is the main Nazi guy in New York who is trying to ferret out the resistance, and his agents that he sends on missions to retrieve the films. And then the other part of the story is based in San Francisco, where there is the Japanese occupation.
Yeah.
And it focuses on real people living real lives. And that's what the great thing about the show.
The main Nazi guy is Rufus Sewell, the guy from Dark City.
Yes, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's great. Really? In the first episode that I watched, he's legitimately like the scariest person. He is evil.
He's like a Nazi enforcer type.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but he's high up in New York, and he has. And the great thing about this show is it doesn't focus on the geopolitical stuff at all, except when that geopolitical stuff is reflected in real people and their real lives. And so it does a great job of really focusing on the impact, the human impact of all of this stuff, like how people would live. Mm-hmm. And if you somehow get wrapped up in some kind of resistance thing, like the story kicks off with the main female character, her sister is somehow involved in the resistance. The main female character is not at the beginning, but then she has an encounter with her sister and she gets dragged into the whole situation involving the resistance.
She gives her in the newsreel, and then she has to go to...
And the main female character, none of these people watch the films. Mm-hmm. They just deliver them. But the main female character actually watches it. And she's like blown away. She can't believe. Sort of,
do they get into the origin of these films and how they come to exist?
No.
They never explain it?
That's the beautiful thing is that I'm not going to spoil it, but they tease at the end of the first season how they might come into existence, but it's fucking bonkers. So I'm not gonna spoil it.
So there is going to be another season. It's not just a one-off.
I have one question for you, Christopher. Do they give you an answer as to why this world is like this? Like, what changed that's different? What one thing changed that caused the Nazis to win?
They mention a couple things. One is that FDR is assassinated.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
And that they also suggest that even after the United States dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, that Japan did not surrender.
Oh, so we dropped the bombs in this reality.
We dropped the bombs, but
they don't give up.
Did not end the fight.
Whoa.
What did they give an explanation as to how the Nazis defeat the U.S. in Europe? Or did they postulate that? Okay.
No, they don't get it. They do not go into greater detail about how this world came to be, other than in this history, for whatever reason, maybe in this history, Hitler was convinced not to go east and focused all his efforts going west.
Yeah.
And that resulted in defeat of Britain and then defeat of America.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a ringing endorsement that you're giving.
It's tense. It's well paced. The atmosphere that they create is fantastic in terms of that alternate history. It does not in any way shrink back from the brutality of the Nazi regime, and or the Japanese regime. Like in one instance, I won't give it away, but there's a instance where a person and his family are taken into custody, and the person is tortured, and members of his family are led into a room that clearly has plastic all over the furniture.
Oh, jeez.
And you can see in the ceiling little vents. And it's a woman and her two children. And the tension that they cultivate because they're holding them in this holding room that has furniture but it has plastic all over it and the floor. And, you know, like plastic.
Like a murder room?
Like, no. It's like – but it's less overt than that. It's like the plastic that you would see the grandmothers would put on their couch.
Yeah.
So it's not spread out the tarp kind of plastic. It's all of its form fitting. It's just covering all the furniture. So it's even more creepy in that a mother and her two children are in this room. Meanwhile, they are torturing the male family member in the dungeon. And I'm not going to spoil what happens, but how they play out the tension and how they do not in any way retreat from here's what the Nazi regime was almost as bad and they did genocide almost as bad as the Nazis did. The Japanese regime did that in China. Mm-hmm. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. But it's absolutely worth watching because it's so well done. It's so well done. So the world that they create is outstanding. I highly recommend it. You really should watch it.
All right. That's pretty good for me.
That is pretty good. When you get a ringing endorsement like that, it's got to pique your interest.
Can we do a short little thing on? We've had one Flash and Arrow episode.
I have not watched the Flash episode.
Okay, I watched.
I'm behind
Arrow.
On that.
What's the report on the Flash episode? I haven't watched it either.
It was good. Both, you know.
Come back?
It's. Let me no Zoom in this episode, but there's a thing at the end of this episode that is very intriguing that changes things a bit. That is kind of like what?
Okay.
I with new shows too. I did watch. Maybe that's not out yet. Is the new Legends of Tomorrow? Is that out?
That starts like
Thursday.
Did it start last Thursday or it's starting this Thursday?
Is it online already?
They started last Thursday.
No, that episode did not get recorded. I have not watched that yet.
I watched Legends of Tomorrow.
You did?
Okay. And it's okay.
If there's any show that just needs to embrace the goofball nature of the show, it's
goofball.
That one.
It's very goofball. There's like so many characters. I feel like it's too many. I don't know.
That could definitely.
Because there's like eight heroes.
Yeah.
It's like a lot.
Seems like a lot.
There's this moment where they fight like one dude, and you're like, how is this guy not dead? Like,
he must be a serious badass.
Right. He's holding his own against all of them. That's so weird. So, it seemed interesting. I don't know. I might be getting a little burnt off on superhero TV shows. Maybe it's oversaturation, maybe a little bit.
That's why I just think there isn't enough good ones. I'm not going to watch that show.
I think there isn't enough good ones. I mean, Agent Carter came back too, and I watched the first episode of that, and that's still a good show.
Oh, I watched the first episode of Agent Carter. That was great.
I love that new LA location. I love kind of the new tension that they're building in terms of her. You know, she's got the respect and, you know, but people are now competitive with her because she is such a well-respected agent and she is so capable and, you know, she doesn't have to hide. The first season was her kind of, you know, in the shadows working her own angle on this case. And
that's why it lost me. I was tired.
Exactly.
Of that.
And now she's kind of, she's saved, you know, basically saved New York from this disaster, and she's got the respect of all of her colleagues, and now they're all competitive and with her, and I mean that adds another level of tension. But at least she's kind of out of the shadows, and it's not so much her having to prove herself or not prove herself or earn respect. They all know what she can do, and now she's a threat, which is a different dynamic. Hopefully, it doesn't get a little tired, But the first episode, the first mystery was actually pretty cool and establishes kind of a new overarching plot set in the new LA office. So let's see. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'll definitely give it a shot. I mean, this season will only be like 8 or 9 episodes. It moves pretty quick.
I think Agent Carter is what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should have been. It's sort of like I have no desire to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, not into it. And like Legends of Tomorrow is just, it's not, there's no reason for me to watch it. Like, there's no draw. Like, I already have Arrow, I have Flash, you know, those fit that drive for me. And then with these new shows starting up, The Expanse and, you know, Shannara Chronicles, like, something's got to, you know, make the cut. I can't watch them all.
Right. I can't. Yeah, it's over. It definitely, there's a factor of oversaturation happening.
Yeah, yeah. I've almost
cut off Supergirl.
I haven't watched Supergirl at all, like in a while, weeks and weeks. They're trying to. They kind of intrigue me with the tease of Martian Manhunter, because I kind of like that.
Yeah, John Jones.
Yeah, being in the show, but I don't know if that's enough to bring me back. I don't really care. Anyways, we should get cooking here. So, any last minute scenes before we move on to Red?
X-Files dropped.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
X-Files. Do we want to talk about that? I was just watching part of the first episode. I thought it was a little leaden and heavy-handed.
Pretty much.
My fondest memories of X-Files are the fun, kind of a little bit goofball storylines.
Yeah. Well,
those are my favorite episodes.
How awesome was it that they used the original opening?
Oh, the original titles?
They didn't redo the opening, the title sequence. It's just the same one.
Yeah.
From the original show. It's so awesome.
That was cool. That nostalgia was cool.
But that's just like playing in your nostalgia, like hardcore. Like they got to actually have like a good...
I don't necessarily have a problem with being manipulated like that sometimes. That's a total manipulated.
Yeah.
Right. But they reject all of that, you know, when they immediately get into the first episode and they flip shit on its head. So, yes, I agree. The first episode was clunky, not it wasn't real good.
You want it to be magnificent.
Second episode, I can happily report the second episode is a return to form.
Okay, good. Okay. I'll watch the second episode. I'll give it two episodes.
It is absolutely a callback.
How many episodes? They're only doing six, right? Oh, wow. So they got to move things along.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, but they, you know, they have total free reign, right? So they...
I'm sure Fox...
They don't have to do any of the Monster of the Week episodes, right? Yeah,
right.
Except if there's a Monster of the Week that fits into the narrative that they're trying to build with these six episodes. Otherwise, it's going to be all myth.
Yeah.
Every episode is going to be main storyline myth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. They can be really tight and focused on it. And the first episode was clunky getting them into it. But this next episode seems pretty good.
So. All right. Good. All right. Good.
Cool.
All right. Let's move on to Red.
Yeah.
Andrew.
I have finished the fifth Expanse book, Nemesis Games.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite. I read all five this year. I don't want to say that it's probably the weakest of the series.
No way, dude.
I don't know. It just didn't grab me as much as the other four did, honestly. I mean, I think Leviathan Wakes is an amazing book. I think I enjoyed what's the second book's called? Caliban's War. I think I might have enjoyed that a little bit more than Leviathan Wakes, just because we are so deep into the world and we meet, you know, Bobby Draper, who is a fantastic character. I can't wait to see her on the TV series. Well, I think she'll be so much fun.
We're going to have to wait till season 3 of Chris.
Oh, I understand.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But Nemesis Games just didn't really do it for me like the other books did. I can't wait for the next book. I'm chomping at the bit because there's, you know, they postulate a huge mystery for the next book. So I'm anticipating that a lot. But I don't know, the mystery and the kind of the overarching drama of the book just didn't suck me in, even though it's one of the biggest stories of the five novels in terms of what happens in the book. It's a very, very large story and changes the dynamic of the entire universe, essentially. It just didn't grab me as much as the other
Cybole. I got to say, I enjoyed it. I think the weakest of the four is Cybole Burn.
Yeah, no, I agree that.
On the planet through the gate, I mean, that book dragged on and is only saved by the last 50 pages, basically.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that critique, but yeah, that's where – and I've got multiple books that I've purchased and received over Christmas. Christopher actually got me the David Foster Wallace Reader for Christmas, so I'm gonna dive into that.
Read that, dude.
Oh, for sure. And I bought the Magicians. There's a sci-fi series. I think it's actually premiering this week.
Oh yeah.
Based on the books, Lev
I think it's tonight.
Yeah,
that looked interesting. I wonder if that show was good.
Yeah,
all these
I
new
think
shows, man. All these new shows.
I'm gonna I give the. It. I've read the. I've heard interesting things about the book. Like it's a darker, kind of more grown up version of like a Harry Potter tale. Like, you know, a real world with magical people and creatures Magic University and kind of that elements of it. So maybe it's a little bit derivative, but I'm gonna give it a shot. Just if the writing's good in the book, that can keep me interested. So, fun little factoid: the guy who wrote the Magician story, his brother Austin Grossman, wrote a book that we've all read called "Soon I Will Be Invincible."
Oh yeah,
A deconstruction of the whole superhero supervillain comic book genre.
Great.
I need to read that book again. That book is worth rereading.
Yep.
I've read it a couple times. But yeah, so a little factoid on that for you guys. But
cool.
But I've got the Magicians waiting on my night table to read. So that'll be the next book
You'll have to watch the show and see if it compares well.
I agree. I will.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Christopher, give us all your red. I know you always have a bunch of red.
I do have a bunch of red. Okay, let me be organized here. I am reading the Vision comic book series, and it's through episode 3, and continues to be quirky and odd and awesome. I would recommend – the only thing that's a little off-putting is the art style. I'm more of a traditionalist in terms of art styles, and so it's a little – it's sort of a modern take in terms of their art style. But the writing is good. The situation is kind of crazy. What the Vision has attempted to create, so it's an interesting book for sure. Not your normal superhero comic book.
I have the first two, and I have not read them, but I will be reading that and giving you my two cents as well.
Well, we can do a bit of preview because we're in red now. The three of us are agreeing to. Once Power Man and Iron Fist drops in February, we're going to read that, and we're also going to read Black Panther.
Black Panther went in.
So both of those will be covered by all three of us going forward. So look for that in future podcasts.
Correct, and read along.
Read along with us. Yep.
I finished Secret War.
Okay.
That 9-issue Marvel reimagining of the Marvel universe. Did you guys read that?
I have not read that, but I know
I have
not.
I have some of the series, but I haven't read all of it.
I have finished all 9. And I gotta say, it's pretty damn lame.
That is always the problem with big crossover events.
And
it can end up being great or lame.
It was lame and does not pay off well. And Even when my favorite heroes are involved in the final denouement, it just was weak. It pissed me off, frankly, because I wanted it to be much cooler than it was, and they stumble around and they introduce dumb shit, and then you want it to be you want it to pay off along that line, or you want somehow that element that they introduced to be involved somehow, and they just never go back. It bummed me out. So,
wow.
But you know, the benefit is that none of this Ultimate shit anymore. So it's just one Marvel universe with two Spider-Mans, which is cool.
is that how they bring Peter Parker back? Is that because it was what's his name?
Mark Morales? Morales?
Something like that. Miles Morales?
Miles Morales. He was the ultimate
Spider-Man.
So they have him, and then they have Peter Parker.
Now, because, the gist of it is both Peter Parker and Miles Morales were in the Battle World. The confluence of the two Marvel universes were destroyed, and then Doctor Doom, through various things that you learn about, created a universe that he was the god of. And both Spider-Mans were alive in that universe because they survived from each of their universes on lifeboats, essentially. So, sometimes they pay off and they're cool. Sometimes it's contrived and the writers lose their way and they don't have a good way of paying it off, and I could write it so much better, or you or any of us could write it so much better and do such a better job of paying it off, and it bummed me out. But now it's behind us and we're in single universe, and so I'm looking forward to sort of moving forward with all of these characters. So I am also reading the Mighty Thor that started up in the aftermath of Secret Wars. So I'm reading that. And I enjoy that's with the female Thor. So I like that a lot. And I continue to read the Star Wars comic, the Darth Vader comic. And I will continue to say that Darth Vader comic is the favorite thing that I've been reading for this past year. It's in terms of a comic, it is awesome.
Yeah.
In terms of telling the tale from Vader's perspective, and all the shit that he gets into with the Empire and people in the Empire and trying to do his own thing, and he's got his own conspiracies going on. It's very entertaining. It's well worth your time.
How do they have pretty much the main antagonist from the old movies be the protagonist in this? That's what I can't like wrap my head around. It's like, how do you like this character?
Well, you like Vader,
mm-hmm,
because he's well written in that he doesn't give two shits about anything, right?
Uh-oh. Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
You guys cut out for a second.
He's got his own thing going on, and he's got his own team that he puts together to do, and he's pursuing Luke. But he's also, like, he doesn't like to get bossed around, and tell me what to do.
What time frame is this? This is in between...
After A New Hope.
Oh, shit. Okay. So this is after A New Hope, but before
Empire Strikes Back.
Interesting. Okay. Yes. Okay.
It's really good.
That's an
it's
interesting really time good. Frame.
Yes. It's really good.
All right.
So, and that's the end of my read.
Awesome. Awesome.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He read all good the stuff. Things.
You don't sleep a lot, do you?
I do sleep.
I'm not a lot, though.
I do.
I feel like you're always tired.
Not always.
I feel like you drink a lot of coffee because you don't sleep because you stay up and read.
Maybe.
Don't judge him on his life choices, Andrew.
Are you judging me?
Yeah.
Of course I'm judging you.
The only thing that I have for my read is Saga Volume 4.
Oh.
They actually have.
What episode does that go through? What issue?
They're usually five, so I would imagine that's like 15 to 20, somewhere around 15 to 21. Usually they're five for Saga.
Yeah.
They're actually further than this. I'm a little behind. They're at volume. They have volume 5 out, which I have not read. But I will say that like Saga is really good. Like 1, 2, 3 are really good. I was kind of disappointed with this fourth one. It feels kind of like it felt weaker than.
Is that the divorce storyline? Is that the separation storyline where their marriage is falling apart?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh, I don't care about
that,
this.
That was kind of a low point. It was like, what? Really?
And the whole guy like kidnapping the royal baby.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't care about this. This is
right.
The character that I really liked was the one guy, the Han Solo type that hasn't been in the show or hasn't been in the comic in a while.
Yeah.
And then
with the talking cat.
With the talking cat, the lion cat. Yeah.
Right.
Like he and like it's sort of like he died or something and hasn't been in the series and
happened,
yeah. But and he was like my favorite character. I don't think he died, did he?
Yeah, no.
I think he might have died.
But he has been absent.
He's been absent. This is the issue there in one of these issues is a big controversial issue that like Korea like banned this book from their like South Korea or Iran like banned this issue because of the dragon semen. Do you hear about this?
No.
They like so one of the comics this is how absurd this comic is. They need to hunt down this they need to get the dragon semen off this one planet, I don't know what for, to heal somebody or to do something, and they poke a dragon in the balls to get it, and they get all sprayed with
scrotum in the scrotum
and they get sprayed with ejaculate That is too risque for other countries. So there was like a bunch
that
of
comic is so awesome,
so
dude.
Absurd, so absurd.
I mean, if the story, if the plot point has good context, I mean, I'm sure they could make it worth your while. But
it is hilarious. This is like a really funny book.
Yeah.
But I will say that like part of the story. I mean, that part was like, oh my god. But, like, the rest of it was just like, okay, this... you could have thrown away the rest of the issues, and nothing would have changed. There's no, like...
Right.
I feel like there's no big changes to that story. So, I'll keep reading because I love it, but that's where I'm at with Saga.
Is Brian K. Vaughan still writing?
Still writing it. Still writing it. He might be running out of ideas, though, you know? So
it happens.
I don't know. It's a lull. Let's move on to some Played.
Yeah, man.
The two of you have some co-op Played. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Legendary Christopher, listener.
Yeah, we've got a legendary listener we can do a shout-out to. Sean, the Gov. As his gamer tag, he's CyberGov on Xbox Live.
Maybe you shouldn't say his.
Maybe you shouldn't.
And he can be added. He doesn't have to accept friend requests.
This is true. Now he's going to get bombarded by all of our 40 listeners.
Exactly. Hey, we've got like 100. Come on now.
Okay, thanks.
Don't sell us short. Downloading multiple times.
Which of course they would. Why wouldn't they?
Sure, exactly. Sure. You want to listen to us over and over and over, don't you?
Podcast on all of your devices.
All of them.
Exactly.
Apple and Android.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Continue.
Sunday nights, until recently, I've had some upheaval, and I've been unable to play on Sunday nights, but... For a few weeks there, Sunday nights were our gaming nights. The three of us would get on and play some Destiny on Xbox One and run some strikes and help each other on some quests. That was a lot of fun. Around Christmas, we did that a few times, and that was great. So as soon as I'm a little more settled and can play again, we'll definitely revive that because that was a
settled schmettled. Get that shit hooked up, dude.
Dude, I went over to got my rig out of storage and. I've got it where I'm at right now, and I plugged it in, but the game is not in the deck. So I got to dig through some boxes and actually find the game to be able to access it. You know, it's like the disc is the actual key to play the game. So
right,
you gotta actually have it in the machine.
That's the funny part about these new consoles is like you download it to your hard drive so that it loads faster, but then you need the actual disc to
exactly. So I forgot that right. I mean, like a good.
I don't have the disc in mine, and it runs.
I'm pretty sure you have to.
I do not.
That's their whole thing, Christopher, because
I'm telling you this right now, dude. I do not have that disc.
Did you download it from the live? You didn't like not buy the physical?
On my Xbox One, it is a digital download.
There exactly. you go. That's why you're able to play.
I need the disc.
The code is in your right because he bought the disc, he always has to put the disc in.
Yes. All right. That's right.
Because that's he could give it to his buddy and they could do the same thing and he could give it to his buddy and it's never ending.
Anyway, so.
Freaking Lord.
But, I mean, there are certain things in Destiny you only can do with a team. Obviously, we can't raid with only three. But we were running strikes together. That takes a fire team of three. And then we actually we got on. Here's the kind of the most fun part because there's a quest line in Destiny now where to get an exotic heavy weapon called the Sleeper Simulant, and you have to. The first part of the quest line is you run this story mission, which is nearly impossible to do by yourself. So the three of us ran the story mission together and got the first part of the quest, and then we ran through some other parts of the quest together. But there's a part of the quest where you have to replay a story mission on a specific difficulty, and you have to do it by yourself in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's on a time.
Yeah, if you don't complete it in a certain amount of time and you have to do it alone, it kicks you back to the beginning of the story mission. You keep repeating it.
Yeah.
So there's that timed element. There's the element where it's not about getting kills or, you know, kind of fighting your way through enemy. You really are on a time, so you have to find the correct combination of how to run through the room and have the right weapon on so you can kill enemies the fastest.
Quickly, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting quest line. I haven't completed it yet. I have to finish the last part of the quest, which is to do a strike on a certain difficulty to get a certain drop. But you've completed the quest line, haven't you, Christopher?
I have.
You've got your Sleeper Simulant?
I do.
And you've run with that. That's the cool badass fusion rifle that looks like a stealth bomber, right?
It's freaking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah?
It is. It's fun. It's awesome.
Did
it's
you matchmake with two randoms to
complete
that strike?
And it's so hilarious. I'll tell the story of what happened because I did matchmaking and I dropped into the middle of the fight at the boss.
Oh, wow.
And we got smoked like 6-7 times. And then finally we figured out the proper strat to bring the boss down. Because it's a level – it's a 290 level special strike.
Which is basically – that's like normal mode. Yeah, that's like normal mode raid.
Almost raid level.
Yeah.
And so – yeah, I dropped in the middle of the fight. They clearly lost somebody, and so they put me in the middle of the boss fight. And so we died like 6 times and then finally got him down, and I got it. Yeah, so I have it on the my hunter right now. So
that's cool.
It's fun. Cool. But we'll definitely run it. I mean, I'm there to help you get
it. Do you know if the Gov has completed his simulant?
I do not know. He's had some time, so he may have tried to matchmake it. But if he hasn't gotten it, we'll get it. We'll do.
Oh yeah, no. I'll be ready to play this coming weekend. That's for sure. We should play on Sunday.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep, I'll be down.
All right, cool. And is there any other play that either of you have that you'd like to talk about?
I played some board games.
Ooh,
we played. We played Ticket to Ride.
That's right.
For
awesome
Kristen's
game.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Very fun. Very fun.
Who won?
Kristen did.
Kristen won. Awesome.
By a single point.
Yes.
What were we doing wrong the last time, Christopher, that we weren't playing by the rules?
What we were doing wrong is we were revealing when we completed a route and you can turn then you revealed it and got the points.
Right.
for completing the route. You don't do that. You have a maximum of 3 destination cards.
Oh, so you can only do up to 3.
You can only do 3, and you keep them secret until the end.
Oh, and then you... Oh, okay,
and
I gotcha.
You can swap out. That's one of your options for a turn is to swap out the destination cards. If one of your destinations you can't complete it, you swap it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you keep those secret until the very end, and then you reveal them.
It adds
a totally different dynamic too.
Totally different dynamic.
Because there's a big point dump at the end of the game.
Yep.
Because you'll be building your routes and you'll have your routes, and then you're trying to be anticipating what other people, but you don't reveal what the route is. So you have it allows you to play a little more defense. But if you play defense too much, you can get caught up in not scoring enough points.
Route. Yeah.
Hmm. Exactly. So I actually played a defense strat, and I didn't score enough points to win. I wasn't even close.
The difference in Kristen winning was she had the longest continuous route.
By one train.
That means she got the 10 bonus points instead of me. And if I had gotten the 10 bonus points, I would have won, but she got them, and so she won. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, it's such a fun game.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Cool.
I have a report to play, unplayed. A game I downloaded because of listening to Giant Bomb Punk podcast off of Steam called Rebel Galaxies.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It is a Firefly video game.
What?
Yes, it has. You are a space cowboy. Smuggler, retrieval expert, and there's a dude in a bar who's sending you out on missions to go pick up this package and bring it back or deliver it to this gangster.
What kind of gameplay is it? Is it like shooter or ship battles?
It's space combat.
That's awesome.
You start out with, you know, like a low budget crappy little ship, and then you can level up your ship so that it's like Corinthian class mega ship.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's an RPG space sort of pirate space smuggler game. It's really fun, and it has sort of Western music thrown in, so it's clearly evoking some of that Firefly stuff. So very fun. The graphics are cool. The space controls are cool. The space combat.
It's a mobile game.
No.
Oh, no.
It's on the computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very fun. Is there a co-op to this?
I don't think there is. No.
It's single player.
Yep, single player.
Okay. Yeah. Is it new? Is it full price, like $50?
It's not $50. I think it was... I think it was 29 or maybe.
Oh wow,
19.
That's pretty good.
Pretty reasonable. Yeah.
Do you know like how far it goes? Is there a lot of gameplay to this?
Yes, there is a lot of gameplay.
Wow. Okay. Well,
Rebel Galaxy.
That sounds great
bucks.
To me. I'm gonna
$20.
Oh, I have $20 on Steam right now. I might
there
be getting that. Yeah.
Cool.
That's
get
sounds,
it. That report sounds, on it.
I will.
Yeah.
Cool. I have a couple of games that I'd like to talk about. One is Fallout 4. Finally got around to playing. I definitely have some videos of me playing this on our YouTube channel and Twitch. The Brothers Geek played and Brothers Geek podcast YouTube channel. So you could watch me play a little bit. I have to say, like, I love Fallout 3, I love New Vegas, I love Skyrim, which is made by the same company. This is kind of a disappointment. It looks great. It starts off very strong. There's a good, like, 50 hours of, like, okay, this is really good. And that seems like a lot, 50 hours. But, like, you compare it to Skyrim, which I played, like, over 200 hours of. And I never got sick of.
Yeah.
Like, I still kind of have a hankering to play Skyrim every once in a while. This is kind of disappointing because it's so repetitive. You get to a point where you're just, go to this place, fight these guys. That's it. And like
go here.
Go here. Scavenge. Fight these guys. That's scavenge. It. Yeah, look through all the containers to find four bottle caps. Like so it's just like okay. Yeah, like there's so much. It's just kind of weak. The story's kind of weak. Like I stopped playing the main plot because I didn't care. Like I was like, oh, okay. Like once I found out, like what kind of there was like a big reveal, and then I was like, well, I don't like that. So I guess I don't want to play anymore. And I haven't played since. Like I haven't played in a couple weeks. Because I kind of got tired of it. So I was gonna say that this is like game of the year for me, but it's definitely not.
No.
So that's kind of sad. I mean, it looks amazing, and it has a good like solid beginning, but replayability it definitely lacks. So yeah, that's my report on that.
I've heard that the best part of that. A game is the Nick Valentine.
Yeah.
Quest.
And he's so short.
Yeah. But that's the best part.
He's so great. That's the best part. Oh my God. Like if they did like a big quest chain of like Nick Valentine quests, it would be so great. He's like one of the best characters. But yeah, he's for the most part, he's pretty short. He owns like a detective agency and he's kind of like a 50s, 40s style, like film noir detective, but he's a robot. Boom. and it's hilarious. And he just is like, he's just like this detective guy who smokes cigarettes and he's a freaking synth. It's, or synthetic human. They call him synths in this, game.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty, pretty great. But yeah, those are very short lived. It's over and done with very quickly. I hope that there's more expansions for this. I hope they release more and that they'll improve upon it. Because they usually do. They usually do, like, releases for their big games. I'll definitely play them. But kind of lost interest. I don't even know if I'll finish the main... I'll probably, like, force myself to finish the main story so I can see how it ends. But that's horrible that I have to, like, force myself to do that. You know? That's the feeling that I get from it. So, yeah. The other game that I played, a buddy of mine, Brendan, told me to download MechWarrior Online. This is a game that's a few years old, so it doesn't look great. And it's a free-to-play game, but it's sort of like you can buy mechs and stuff. But it's like a shooter that you are riding in a giant robot and fighting people in. And it's kind of fun. It's pretty geeky. It's very geeky. Because you can build your own mech and customize it, and there's a lot of customization, and you can get like lost in a rabbit hole and you can like know all the loadouts and all. It's pretty ridiculous. I don't know how far I'll get into it, but it's pretty fun to like run around it's very satisfying to run around in a mech and blow up another person that's in a mech also. Chris, I was telling Chris about this before we started recording, and he said it sounded a lot like World of Tanks, like that kind of thing. It's a free-to-play game just like that. But like, yeah, you can get, you know, you can buy mechs, you can buy...
That's where the transactions come in. That's how they make money off the player base.
So far, I've spent $1 on free games, like, ever. So I'm never the one that buys the thing. You know, I'm never the one who puts in money. And as soon as it's like, okay, I need to spend more money to continue playing, like, that's when they lose me. I played it for a couple of hours just as, like, a cadet.
Yeah.
And I haven't had to spend a dime, and it's pretty fun. And if that's all it is, then I've already gotten, you know, some kind of fun out of it.
for sure.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I think it's pretty cool, and it's a fun, like, jump in and blow things up and then walk away kind of a game.
So. Is it a PvP game, or is there
it's
PvE?
There's no missions, there's no story, there's just...
It's all PvP.
But there's tons of maps, and they're huge, and there's different play styles. There's, you know, there's always the capture the flag, or destroy
different game
the
types.
Other... It's always like you die and you're done. Like, you get one life. So there's it's not like a Battlefield where you're like, you die and then you respawn and then you keep going, you know, or the game goes on until you score a number of points. It's like you have to wipe out the whole other team. So there's all these like strategies on like, we need to go over here and stay together. Because if you go off on your own, which I've did a couple of times, you die like instantly.
You get
smoked. There's no, like, you can't be a lone wolf and win. Like, your team wins or loses. Like, you are not the... You are not, like, playing by yourself. You have to listen to the people and stay with them. And there's also, like, friendly fire. You can run into other of your team and damage their mech by running into them. So you got to pay the hell attention. This game is not for the, like, the casual gamer. This is pretty serious. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. He's actually texting me about playing in a little bit, so I'll probably play that a little later. It's fun.
Get on it.
It's fun to play with, like, a friend.
Sure.
So that's what I would say. But it is a few years old, but it's free, so who cares?
Totally.
That's it for my played. Andrew.
Yeah.
Now that Star Wars is come and gone.
Yes.
What,
but always
what,
remain will remain in our hearts.
Always remain in our hearts. What trivia are you going to have for us? Because, like, I don't even remember a time before
Star Wars trivia.
Star Wars trivia.
Yeah.
Well, I have to credit. I actually put the word out to a few friends of mine for requesting ideas for the theme for the trivia night, and my friend Crystal actually gave me the idea of a classic Disney trivia question.
Okay.
So
Ooh.
Here it is.
Ooh. I like this.
For classic Disney.
All right.
What is the first full-length animated feature film that Disney released, and what year was the film released?
It was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and it was 1942.
Okay. Got
that
your
is,
answers?
That is my guess.
Christopher?
Repeat the question, please.
What is the first full-length Disney animated feature... And what year was it released?
I am also going to say Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and I'm going to say 48.
Mm.
You're both right with the movie. You're both wrong
oh,
with the year.
Dang it. Okay. What's the year?
It was actually 1937.
37? Oh! Wow. That's early.
Yeah,
wow.
I actually thought it was 1939, and I was going to build this whole theme about how 1939 was one of the best years of American cinema because Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came out that year. Gone with the Wind came out that year.
Wizard of Oz.
I think Wizard of Oz came out that year. Mm-hmm. And I think Stagecoach came out that year, too.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so all these like all-time classic movies all came out in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
But... obviously, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs was 2 years before that. There's a bonus question for you guys.
Bonus, you, woo!
It doesn't have a multi.
The bonus.
It doesn't, the answer. The bonus question is this: why did Disney use so many fairy tales in his early films?
Because they were free. They were open source.
Yeah, in the public domain.
Public domain. Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't have to pay for the rights.
They aren't anymore because Disney owns them all.
Pretty much.
That makes sense.
Totally does.
Yep. I'm recording.
Patrick's roommate's making
sorry.
Noise.
It's
all right.
So, yeah. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Like,
1937.
So, yeah, that's there's a lot of really cool like trivia about that. Like, they did kind of some rotoscoping with Snow White. And they had... animators like draw individual like animations for each character, and that's why it took so many years, like each dwarf. So they all would have like a different movement, and so they all wouldn't look the same.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. They had like animators, like teams assigned to like one dwarf.
Wow.
And so it took years. I took an animation class, so I messed up on the date, but I knew that that was the first like full length feature by Disney.
Cool. Yeah.
But yeah, and like. If you there's like videos, you can probably find one on YouTube of like the rotoscoping of the actress who played Snow White and like how they recorded her and then she danced around and then they drew over the film that while she
wow.
So it was like the and oh, that really? Was that was the first multiplane camera. He invented the multiplane camera for that film. Multiplane so like they would draw traditional animation was you'd have to draw like the whole frame. You'd have to draw the background and the foreground and then you know, and so it would take a long time because you'd have one drawing. With the multiplane, you could have a team working on the background and then have people working on the foreground and then having someone work on the character animation. So, like, you put them all on top of each other because you had multiple glass panes of, and then you take a photo, and then you move all the glass panes out, and then you put them all, you put the new character in the, into the next part in. And so that's why, if you watch it, the background looks, like, really, really detailed, and then the characters in front look different because it's on a different, like...
It's two different frames
it's two different,
laced together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's really cool technology. Go Google multiplane camera, and
right.
you'll see a really cool like big picture that Disney invented for this film.
That's awesome!
Yeah.
Wow,
little
awesome.
Film geek action.
Little
thanks
film
a lot.
Geek
nice.
Action.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Normally, I'd make fun of you and rub your nose in shit, but it's pretty
whoa.
Good facts you just gave us.
Whoa! Okay.
So angry.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you want to email the show, you can email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Your email will get read on the show. Guaranteed.
100%.
You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should go to the website, of course, brothersgeek.com.
Yes.
You should follow us on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch and all those things. There's
social media, that shit.
We have all of
we're
those
all
things.
Over the place.
We have
we
all
got
of those
all
things.
Portals now.
But the best place to find episodes is probably the Facebook group. So if you follow, you should probably follow us on Facebook or, you know, Twitter. We post on Twitter. Yeah, on the website. But, yeah, everybody's got Facebook, bro. So, thank you for listening. We're back.
We are back. Welcome to the new year.
We are back.
It feels so good.
It does feel good.
You know who else was back?
Oh.
You know who else was back?
Who was back?
Han Solo was back.
Was.
He was back. And you know what?
What was the issue?
Where a guy gets as high as a kite, yeah, yeah. On those small, narrow spaces, in the wide, open places that are open, open all night. Bye-bye.
Tony, fix me another one.